This is the MVC Academy class on the vortex of submission. The topic for today is dissolving enemy images. This is class 5. And we do a self-connection exercise. So here we are, right here, right now. This eternal now moment. Just noticing your own surroundings, just connecting to what it looks like. Connecting to the sounds. Just bringing yourself into presence and focus. And tune into what is important to you right now. There's something right now that's happening inside you or around you that you want to set an intention to be attentive to. Just noticing how you feel in this moment. And then consider, is there something that happened during the week or recently or something you can imagine might be happening that you sense may disrupt your sense of peace, your sense of connection? Could or did, and just identify that. Perhaps it was something someone said, or something someone could say, something someone did or could do, that would result in your feeling triggered. And then, instead of reacting, set an intention to wait. Set an intention to just wake up to what is actually happening. Beyond just even waking up to it, welcome it as an opportunity. Open up to this opportunity for exploration. Setting an intention to attend to this with some level of acceptance that this is what is. And in your exploration of what actually is, what is this actually about? What is it that really matters in this moment in relationship to this circumstance? As you consider what's important, also now check out, is there something actually that this is pointing to that is even more important? If you had that, there's something else that you would also then be serving. Oh, yeah. Just check in with that introspection until you have this sense of, ah, that's what really matters here. That's what wants to be attended to. That's why I would get triggered. Yeah, something really matters. Something really worth tending to. Something you really value. And then consider, what's one step that I could try? What's this one thing that might actually address? May see more than one possibility may pop into your mind. It's what your mind is made for, is coming up with ideas. It's hardwired to do that. And then just wake up to what it feels like right now in this moment, having had that experience. Allowing it to be just as it is. Honoring what's really important about having had that experience. And then choose what you would like to do, if anything, next. And I'd love to hear from a few of you about how you are having had this experience, having had an opportunity to actually practice weight twice in that process. I'd love to just hear how you are, so would you be willing to press one and just give us a window into your experience right now or anything else you'd like to celebrate or mourn? Jim, why don't you lead that?
Sure. Let's start with Doreen and then go to Jean.
I was thinking about the time that I didn't wait and I'm feeling some regret. And trying to think about how I might do it differently next time. And trying to see it as an opportunity for growth and not criticism.
One of my goals is to make mistakes and to try to learn from them. So I appreciate you bringing that up, Doreen. Thanks. We'll go next to Jean and then River.
Well, I had a double frustration with the exercise. First, I somehow got cut off. It was hard to land back into the exercise. And then, for some reason, I was having a lot of background noise. And so it was hard to focus. And so, since I didn't really have anything that I was doing, I decided to just use the background noise because I was getting very irritated with it. So, when Joy said something along the lines of what can I do right now? And I said, well, I can let you guys know. And it just felt a lot better just to let you know that that was happening. So that's my experience.
Thank you, Jean. Appreciate that. I'll go to River next and then Kim.
I was enjoying using the weight exercise through the week and was having fun looking at weight in terms of the classic giraffe of observations, needs, feelings, and requests. The four steps in weight analogous to the four steps in classic NBC. And that was, because I had that connection, it was easier for me to remember to use it.
Yay! Get a yay from Jim! Okay, we'll go to Kim next, and then Annie.
I've enjoyed using the weight exercise too this week, and I have found it especially easy and also very rewarding on the opportunities I've had with my children, especially my two older teenage children, and some of their actions, of course, being, you know, they're gaining independence, and there are opportunities for me to go from being disappointed to disappointment. I've enjoyed that a lot, but I was sitting here thinking during the connection exercise that there have been opportunities with others that, oof, I have a hard time waiting. And I'm trying to discern what that difference is. And to me, I have usually been described as being a rather patient person. And I think the waiting is a reflection of patience. Of course, to go beyond that, to see the other's needs and everything else, there are others in my life that I have found that much more difficult and have not been nearly as good at waiting with them. I'm sorry for that. I feel, you know, that makes me sad, and I'm trying to figure out why that is and what I can do to encourage that more with myself.
Thank you, Kim. That is, for me, that's the perfect question for today, because it's exactly what we'll be talking about as the class unfolds. So I'm curious to see when you check out at the end if you've found an answer that works for you to the question that you asked. I appreciate that. We'll go to Annie next, and then Roberta. Annie, go ahead.
The thing that I noticed in the self-connection exercise was I knew immediately what situation I wanted to run through that happened last week. When Jory asked, is there any other need that's kind of in there a little deeper, immediately it was like just a zing right to, oh yeah, my needs matter too. That's really important. And it seems like that just keeps coming up for me. It's like the bell, that bell rings every time I do self-connection around disappointment or frustration or submission. It's just a great reminder for me. And then if I remember that my needs matter, then it's easier for me to speak without it being a complaint or a whiny thing. I'm complete.
Thank you, Annie. And we'll go to Roberta next, and then I'll see if Charlene is ready to check in.
I think what I was sensing in myself had a lot to do with what Annie just spoke to. In this process, what stands out for me is the pausing and self-connection, and in the entire process of the wait, there's such an empowering sense somehow. It's a very gentle sense, appreciating that feeling that the process brings to me of self-connection and also empowering. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Let's dive into the lesson. I guess I haven't really checked in. I noticed that I'd like to connect with you a little bit and say how I am. I'm so glad that we're doing this class. It really provides a sense of meaning and purpose in my life. For me, this particular set of topics that we cover in this class is both evolutionary and revolutionary. And I would do anything almost to get it more widely out there. And so you guys coming and taking part in it and practicing these practices is for me, a huge contribution, not only to my well-being, but to the well-being of the planet. And the lesson for today, which we're calling Dissolving Enemy Images, is the reason. Because if you've been following our pattern, where we kind of started with these choices that we have when someone makes a request of us, where we can either say no with some sense of consciousness to what we're saying yes to, or we can say yes with a sense of consciousness of why we are saying yes, what need we're hoping to meet by saying yes. That's the first antidote to submission, is being very clear when the request from another person comes in, whether we want to say yes or no, and most importantly, why. And then we also covered earlier this whole idea of how we can make requests, that maybe something comes up for us in response to a request from others, and we need some clarity, we need some feedback, we'd like some action taken. And so we practice learning how to make requests around that. And then we also worked last week with this transformation from being disappointed or full of blame for what another person has done or often hasn't done, and learning to transform that through self-empathy into a sense of mourning or disappointment. And we're going to build on that today by checking in with what happens if we forget that we ever knew all this other stuff. So somebody makes a request, we kind of go unconscious temporarily, we find out that we have submitted. Later, we notice that we had some expectations of how somebody else would make it fair that we did whatever we did, but we never expressed that. And we feel disappointed because we didn't get what we didn't ask for. And then what's likely to be the feeling that comes up if this happens over and over and over again? If you're constantly disappointed in relationship to what another person does or doesn't do, what's likely to happen? And the answer, of course, is we're likely to feel resentful. Resentment is, I remember reading a book a few years back by the Dalai Lama and some scientists, and he talked about resentment as being one of the most poisonous emotions that human beings are capable of producing. And I know for me, somewhere along the way I heard this quote, that resentment is like taking a poison and expecting it to kill the other person. Sometimes you see it expressed as the evil eye or something like that. You can just tell when a person has this sense of resentment, and especially how it is for you when you feel that sense of resentment, that it poisons our experience of being able to enjoy the present moment. And the other important thing about this particular part of the vortex of submission is that we're now entering the borderline or the borderland between submission and rebellion. So in a way, when we're starting to feel resentment, we're at the edge of violence. Violence is right around the corner from resentment. And violence, of course, can take many forms, not necessarily hitting somebody or hurting somebody. It can take the form of yelling at somebody or using some language that you know you're going to regret later, or sabotaging someone, or all kinds of different ways that violence can manifest. So let's take a look at what's going on when this resentment is actually being caused by a couple of different things. First off, it's caused by what I call a hallucination of intent. And what I mean by hallucination of intent is we think we know with 100% certainty why another person did something or didn't do something. And usually that hallucination includes us. In other words, they wanted to hurt me. They wanted to get even with me. They wanted to strike out. They wanted to punish me. So all these intents that we ascribe to somebody else. So that's one thing that creates this resentment, is having a hallucination of intent. The other thing that feeds resentment is a diagnosis. We put the other person into a box. We actually play psychotherapist in a way. We often label them with a psychological term like passive aggressive or just aggressive or psychotic or crazy or selfish or narcissistic, or you get the flavor. That we feed our resentment and we make it stronger every time we say that another person is a certain way. So this combination of things, the hallucination of intent and this diagnosis, causes the feeling of resentment to fester and grow, and eventually, if not cared for, not transformed, it will become a more and more concrete enemy image. An enemy image where we take the person, whoever they are, whether they're someone we love or someone we barely know, maybe even a stranger, maybe someone who we've heard of because we read about him in the news or whatever, we dehumanize this other person. And rather than being a human being, we see them only as an enemy image. And therefore, they deserve to be punished. So now you see why we're so close to the edge of rebellion here, because punishment, this notion that we can cause another person to straighten up and fly right, if only we give them enough pain in their life, they'll pay attention. This is a form of rebellion or violence, and it's inevitable unless we find a way to take care of our resentment. If we don't hurt the other person, we'll just continue to hurt ourselves with the resentment, with taking this poison and swallowing it day in and day out. I'd just like to ask you to pause for just a moment and let that sink in and notice how you feel as you consider this idea, these ideas about enemy image and resentment. Just notice how your body feels. Use this as a chance to practice wait. Noticing how you feel. Giving yourself a little empathy. Because you've probably fallen into this trap at least once in your life where you felt resentful. I'd like to invite you to give yourself permission to feel resentful. It's part of our human experience. It's inevitable because of the way we've been educated to feel resentful, to make another person wrong, turn them into an enemy. I don't know of a single human being who doesn't do it. So you're in good company if this is you. So give yourself permission to do that. And realize that you're doing it for a good reason, because you didn't have another choice. It seemed like the best choice you had available. Maybe you had a need for justice that wasn't met. Need for understanding, for connection. Need for balance. A need for mattering. And somehow you tried to use resentment to get that need met. And then as a final part of this little brief self-connection interlude, just think of something that you feel grateful for right now. That's often a very powerful next step in wait, to make a request of yourself to consider something that has made your life more wonderful. And connect with that feeling of gratitude and savor it. And that gives you some fuel to move on. To get back to presence with your life. In a couple of minutes, we're going to break up into two groups, and we're going to go through a process to explore an antidote to resentment. To do this exercise, it'll be similar to ones we've done in the past, where we will ask you to do some writing and some contemplating. Then we'll have a chance to talk about it, to get some clarity about each of the steps that we'll be going through. And we'll be providing all these steps to you as a written exercise as well. You can just write down the answers as we go through it in the small group. And so, Jory, if you would be willing to break us up into those two small groups, and then we'll come back here in the large group and debrief together. So in just a moment, we'll be in our small groups.
Okay, we'll do a written process. So the first part is just to remember a specific time when you felt resentful with somebody. And just make a note of with whom that is, and when, where, all the observations. What specifically happened, who, where, and what. This part is just very brief, just so you have an anchor, maybe one line. And so I wonder if there's anybody who would like to do theirs out loud, which would be helpful to all of us to actually be tracking this process. Anybody like to be guided and do it out loud? Kim, would you be willing to share what the experience is? What is the observation? Who was there and what was said or done? You actually don't have to say who. I think that's probably better if you don't want to actually name anybody. But what specifically happened?
Years ago when I was in school, I had a professor who made it quite well known that he was not in agreement that women should be in the field that I had chosen to be in. And I was a senior and getting ready to graduate. I had to do an evaluation in front of this guy. He was evaluating me on a particular procedure. Just really was there, I felt, in his evaluation.
Can you identify one thing? I mean, maybe this is enough. This was someone who said something to you referencing you being a woman? Or is there something specific that he said?
It's not only that. It was the fact that he really gave me a very, very poor evaluation.
So if we could just get one observation of one thing he said, just to make that distinction between the evaluation of a poor evaluation, the opinion that was poor, or, you know, he had these thoughts, but what actually specifically was said or done?
Specifically, he failed me on a particular procedure that I did.
Okay, so that's the observation. So that's the observation. He failed you on a particular procedure that you did. And just to notice the difference between that and the evaluation of what he was thinking or that it was something was poor or whatever, just to get to the facts is what we mean by the observation. Okay, so everybody else, you have an opportunity now to review your observation and see whether there is an evaluation in there or whether you've got it down to just the facts. Then we'll move on to the next step in the process, which is to actually step into the experience. What this was really like to allow yourself to totally be as if it's happening now. So a first person representation of this. Yeah, just consider what are some of the judgments? And write down just a couple of the judgments you have. Maybe for you, Kim, he was a misogynist, you know, and that was one of the judgments. He didn't like women in your profession.
I'm a bit confused here. I'm to state what the judgments I made against this person?
Yeah, what are your judgments in that situation? And just to write a couple of them down. What are your judgments of him? What are your judgments of yourself? Just a few judgments that you were having at that time, or even now as you step into it. So, Kim, what are a couple of your judgments in relationship to that?
Well, I mean, I felt he was very cruel. He was stupid. He was backward in his thinking.
Yeah. Let's just take that first one, that judgment of he's cruel. And just notice, how do you feel in that situation when you tell yourself he's cruel? What feeling arises in you? The emotion. The feeling of anger.
Yeah.
Or fear.
It makes me angry, actually. I don't fear him. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was extremely worried and anxious that, you know, it was going to set me back in graduating, but it was more, it was just anger.
And as you follow that anger with that introspection, what's underneath that anger that you really value? What matters so much that would trigger your anger? The need for respect, perhaps?
Or just a sense of fairness.
Mm-hmm. And if you had a sense that he would be fair with you, what would be the deeper meaning of that?
Well, one of respect and one of, I think, mattering.
That you would have a sense that you really mattered.
Mm-hmm.
And if you really mattered to him, what would be the deeper meaning of that? Then what would you have?
I don't know. I can say that I don't know how much it matters that I matter to him. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and as you step back into that situation, I wonder if what's underneath that sense that you would matter to him is really a sense of security, really, in your path. That you would have some sense of security in being able to fulfill your dream.
Hmm. Right.
That resonates.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So the underlying piece of that is the security and the fulfillment of your dream.
Right. At the time, I felt he was standing square in the way. He was an obstacle.
But I wonder if also maybe a need in there is just some choice, some autonomy about how you get to be in the world. It's affecting the choice. The level of choice that you had.
Right.
Yeah. So now for each of you, look at the judgments that you have there and identify a feeling and a need for each of the judgments that you wrote down. Let's go to the just noticing right now. Let's bring ourselves right back into the present. Giving yourself permission to feel the feelings, to actually have the need. And just notice how you feel right now. Having identified what was the deeper meaning of this. Those the needs met by the process so far. And savor that. And we'll just do a real quick round here to just say how you are so far with this. Anything that you are celebrating in the morning. So how is this for you right now, Jean? You have a sense that you've really grounded into what really matters to you in this situation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Great. Thank you. And how about for you, River?
Well, it's shifted. I'm seduced by being right. I have moments of feeling some peace and ease around the situation, but it's really slippery because I'm so right.
Mm-hmm.
So the situation is that Representative Roswell wants to bring creationism into classrooms, and the governor, I think, is on his side. I get moments of some ease around it, but I also just slip into being right and back to murderous rage that I don't offer myself some options and solutions that might be useful.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that sense of being really right is because the need underneath that you've identified is so really important to you.
Yes, the well-being of students. Incredible budget crisis that we have, to introduce something else into the classroom with no money to fund it is completely unjust and unfair.
Yeah, the rage continues to be there because something so matters.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you would have a lot of feelings about that. And I'm guessing what you're noticing is how you're shifting between the feeling of it and the thought of this sort of a righteous indignation of it, huh?
Well, yeah, I have murderous fury and disdain. I want to gather people and, you know, there's so much juice in making enemies around it. It's so easy to do. It's just so easy to gather the illusion that this is a wrong thing to do, and it's a pervasive attitude that it's, if I'm not careful, I can get caught up in that, you know, swell of us and them and not be open to some effective alternative that might really work for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have that deep grounding in your need, and it's still not complete. It's not, we haven't fully processed this yet sufficiently to let go of this sort of, as you said, murderous part of yourself in relationship to it. Yeah?
Yeah, and I guess one of the things that I'm struggling with is staying grounded in dropping the enemy images and being able to communicate with folks that share this polarizing opinion. Like, I've noticed that sometimes people aren't ready to hear some more middle grounded offerings when things are so polarized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the other need is really around some sense of community and support.
Yeah, community and support and some rational infusion of ideas that can maybe lever away from just an us and them battle. There's an us and them battle that's going on in the state house right now that, it just seems that there's no movement.
Mm-hmm. So you're longing for some sense of cooperation and mutual support here.
And allowing folks to recognize that both sides have really valid needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really longing for that community to come together and find something that really works for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yes, Kim?
You know, what River said really resonates with me, too, in considering, you know, his situation is ongoing. It's not like it's an incident that happens, and then you reflect back on it, and you work through it, and you deal with it. And it's easy to dissolve that enemy image, but his is ongoing. And I think, too, that we have certain relationships in our lives that are ongoing. Those are the hard ones. And I guess maybe because it is, we're looking at needs that are so, so deep and so important on both sides. And I'm sure that the people that are on the other side of the fence from River's situation have needs that are just as deep as the ones he has, and the same for relationships in our lives, those ongoing relationships, those are the ones that are just so almost murderous. Sometimes you just get the rage is there.
Yeah, the complexity of it being ongoing is often all the other pieces of the puzzle, all the past hurts and all the past resentments that help build this into something larger. So that instead of it just being a single incident, it's like pulling in all those other pieces that got dropped on the pathway. Now we're gathering them all together to kind of build our case.
Right, and it affects so many more people than just me.
That's what I hear in the really huge complexity for you, because it's not just one person. It's the whole dynamic of a community. There's some sense of helplessness I notice around these kinds of issues in general. Then I have an enemy image. It's often that it seems so complex. And what we're doing here is to try and break it down into some simplicity. One little piece. That's why we have an observation. Let's pick a specific observation. Someone said something. And deal with it piece by piece. And it's like you've got this wall that's there. You're running into a brick wall. And you just kick out one brick at a time until the whole structure then begins to fall. But if we keep pounding the whole wall and try and deal with them all at once, we get really bloody. So we're taking it piece by piece and simplifying. And so, is there anything else about this piece? Okay. Because we're about to move to shift our focus. And I want to do just to notice within yourself, to be really grounded in the needs that you have identified, how important it is before we shift our attention to the other person that we're incredibly grounded. Because otherwise we fall back into that place of submission again. We forget our own needs. And then we start to have compassion for the other at our own expense. So anybody not feeling really grounded and clear about what really matters to you in this situation? Go ahead.
I feel real grounded and clear about what my needs are, but that doesn't mean that the other person is going to meet them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're not even going to look at having the need met yet. We're only going to look at just what our need is.
Okay.
I want you to be really grounded in your need, because now we want to look at what's the other person's need.
Okay.
So the next step in this is to guess what the other may have been saying yes to when they did what they did. And so we'll start with you, Kim, as an example. You have this professor. What do you think he was saying yes to when he failed you on the procedure? What need do you think he was trying to meet?
A bit of empowerment. He was, you know, going to show his authority. And by that, I don't mean a right sense of authority, but just that he had the authority and power to prove himself right.
And if he was able to express that power, what do you think the underlying value was that he was trying to defend or take care of? What do you think really mattered to him that he'd want to express that much power?
Perhaps that he mattered.
So maybe it is that he really needed to affirm how much he mattered.
Right.
Okay, so now for River and Kim, go ahead and make a note of whatever it is you are connecting to. It might be what was going on for the other person, their underlying need. And Kim, you can explore and see maybe there's another need that you guess is going on for him as well while they do that. Okay, so now just tap into yourself and connect to that need inside of you, the need you're guessing for them, and just notice that you too have that same need. So just savor that need within yourself. Feel that connectedness, holding that need and knowing that in actuality, not only does this other person have that need, you have that need. And then to savor that need and offer it to everyone, that everybody have this need met. Such an important part of life that we find ways to meet our needs. And our lives are so much more fulfilled, not only when we get our need met, but when everybody gets their need met. And then just notice how you feel right now. Notice any other needs that are alive in you right now. Just savor whatever's important. And then consider the next step in this process. Consider and write down, what were you expecting from the other person that you did not get?
Seymour, I'm not following you.
Yeah, so I was wondering about that, River, with yours. Your situation was you were triggered because someone said that they wanted to have another program added to the...
Yeah, they want creationism in the classroom.
Right.
They want to teach creation.
Right. And you feel resentful toward that person. What were you actually expecting from that person? What is it that you would have liked to have gotten from this person instead?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is a recognition that the timing isn't right to address this. That there's a number of reasons that it's just not good timing. That they realize that they have a different position. I mean, that's one thing.
So this is actually sufficient at this moment. You could probably unpack it and find some other things.
Mm-hmm.
But that kind of thing is just to see, what were you expecting from that person? Because usually as we go through this whole process, as we look back and take it backwards, before we felt this resentment, we felt some disappointment. There was something that we felt disappointed about, some sort of expectation we would have. So in your case, maybe you had an expectation, River, that this person would have a broader understanding of the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
And be able to consider the broader needs of everyone concerned. And so for Jean and Kim, do the same thing in writing for yourself right now. And just write that down. What is it that you expected from them that you didn't get?
Or the anger and the resentment, all that came, I was disappointed.
Right. That there was something else you expected. So you have something. And Kim, for you, do you have something?
I have a list.
Okay, great. Well, then you have the fodder for the next step, which is to write down specifically what you could ask for, to translate that expectation into a concrete request, to make it very specific and concrete, stated in what you do want, not just what you don't want. And something that's actually doable that you could ask for in this moment or in the next moment you have the opportunity to speak with them. And if you'd like some support, speak up.
Are you saying specific action that we could take?
No, actually, let's just work with it. What was the expectation you had? What was it that they didn't do? What was it that you wish had happened instead?
My refrigerator's not working right, and I expected the manager to assess it honestly and realize that it's not working right, but instead they sort of did some little trick and waited until the compressor came on and stuck the thermometer right where the air is and said, oh, see, the air is. And so what my statement is that to be honest in their assessment and to really answer my questions, because the air temperature is not safe for food.
Okay, so now let's make that really concrete and specific. What specifically would you want this person to do? What would it look like? Like if you were coaching this person to do it in a way that would have the outcome you would hope for, what would it look like?
I would ask them to check the temperature right when they come in the apartment and not wait until the compressor comes on to check the temperature. And I guess that's what I would ask them to do.
The concrete request is that they come to check your refrigerator at a time when the compressor is not on.
Yeah, because they came several times and I did see a routine. There were three different ones that came because they don't want to replace it. And they would open it up and let all the air come out, then shut it, wait for the compressor to come on, and kick in and start blowing the cold air, and then stick the thermometer right where the cold air comes out. And, well, yeah, you know.
I'm guessing what you would really like is to put the thermometer in the refrigerator and to leave it there and give it time to read and then open the refrigerator at some point when the compressor hadn't been on.
Yeah, for them to come and to test it immediately, which means I have to take a more assertive stance when they come.
If assertive means coming up with a concrete, specific request of exactly what you would like. Yeah. Looking for right now is exactly what we could ask for so that we could actually communicate what we want clearly to the other person. We have no control over whether they will do it or not, but to come up with a concrete, specific request stated in the positive that's doable while you're actually together or something that would take a step toward it. So, taking a step backwards from this, consider, what did you actually give to the other person that you wish you hadn't given? What is it that actually was the setup for this when you submitted, basically? And a clue to this is, you owe me this because I did such and such for you. That might be helpful. What specifically did you cave in on? And when you have something written, press 1, or if you need help, speak up.
Lori, I'm not quite following you on this next step.
Thank you for speaking up. So what was it that you actually, there was something beforehand that you actually gave up to your professor in a way. Maybe you were trying to jump through hoops, or you were trying to be really nice or something that led to that expectation that this person would have acted differently towards you. Yes? That resonate?
I was expecting an honest evaluation.
And were there any things that you could identify in how you had acted in that class? And you had done all your homework, you had done, you know, what is it that you had done that led you to believe you earned a better grade?
I felt I had mastered the procedure.
Uh-huh.
I was therefore ready to take my evaluation exam on it.
Mm-hmm. So. And you had an expectation that he would be able to know that based on what? Did you have a sense that you'd sort of bent over backwards in some way to meet his expectations?
I felt like I don't know that I felt like I had bent over backwards to meet his expectations, but I felt like I had done what I needed to feel good about it myself.
So really what you did, maybe it wasn't specifically in this particular situation, a cave in, but you worked hard to master the skill as requested and as appointed. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's the piece. River?
I don't get what I gave up. I mean, I'm trying to do a stretch here. I mean, because
yeah.
there's no interaction, so they have the opinion that they want to bring in creationism. Have I given up that I've studied science and understand the philosophy of science?
No, but I wonder if there's a piece of it for you, River, that you have put a lot of energy and effort into supporting this system being sustainable and effective for these kids.
Yeah, but I mean, so have they. I mean, this person's put themselves out as a public servant politician. I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm. Is there something about, you know, if only they had read the research and all the work that you put into what it's going to take for this classroom to be effective, the classrooms to be effective?
Okay, maybe it's this. I understand the ramifications of what they're saying, and my hunch is that they may not understand the economic ramifications of this request that they have. I have put in lots of effort to understand what some of the financial ramifications might be. Maybe that's what you're getting at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it doesn't quite fit because there isn't that interaction, but I'm guessing part of the indignation is that, gosh, if you understand all the financial information in there, certainly being the politician, that person should.
I mean, they absolutely refuse to do anything to raise more funds, and they're putting in an unfunded mandate that they have to add something. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah. What I see, actually, let me just do this real quickly, is my guess is that you have made a lot of effort to work within the budget, and it's been really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I get furloughed. Yeah. I don't get paid for those days.
Yeah. After all, you give up to try and meet the budget. How could they try and stick something else in there?
Okay.
That's it?
That works. Mm-hmm, that works.
Okay, so there's a couple of things to do with this. Let's go to the next step here, which is, what need were you hoping to meet by what you actually did? So, for example, with Rivers, you've taken a cut in pay to be able to help match the budget here. Kim, you studied really hard to pass this test. And Jean, I don't know exactly what yours was. You've really tried to make it work for the people in your apartment house in some way. So to just look at this action that you just identified, all these things that you did, now identify what need were you hoping to meet when you actually did what you did? This action here.
Is this the same need that we were stepping back into before?
No, this is the need. When you did all that studying and you prepared, what need were you hoping to meet when you did it? You actually did it for yourself. What was that?
Okay, got it.
And just to savor that need. Just savor it. Savor that need. Just to be aware, to just hold on to that, in actuality, for all that this other person did or didn't do, actually, you made the choice to do what you did to meet your own needs. Consider, were there any unmet needs by the choice that you made? So you know now why you made that choice. Identify what needs were not met by making that choice. If any. I'm curious if you identified any needs that were not met by the choice that you made in relationship to the action. Did you have any needs unmet by that, Kim? Having studied hard?
I know it was a huge disappointment the way it happened. I guess I was really disheartened that it happened that way. I think, you know, the need for cooperation wasn't met. Mm-hmm. Harmony, peace. I lost that.
Mm-hmm. So then just for all of you in this moment, would you make a different choice and have done something differently in relationship to this peace that after all I've done, all that you had done to contribute to the relationship, to the situation. Just to acknowledge for yourself, you would still do the same thing. Would you still study for the procedure the same way? Would you still have done whatever you did to support the budget as far as you have? Whatever you came up with, Jean. An opportunity to own your own action and either acknowledge that, yes, this is still the choice that I would make given what I know now, or to learn something about what choice you would make in the future. So, I'm curious to hear where you are with this at this point. Would you still make the same choice you made in that situation? So how about you, Jean? I actually don't know what it was that you have sensed that you gave or caved on.
I stopped asking because, you know, it's winter and I don't have much fresh produce in there. But if spring starts to arrive again, that means going to be back. So what I gave up was my power because I just gave up. So my unmet needs, I didn't get cooperation or understanding because I just gave up and didn't call back again and say, well, it's still not working. And I would feel better if I had at least, like, emailed him and said that for the winter it will be okay, but please understand that come the warmer months we'll need to deal with this rather than just caving and not calling him back.
What I'm hearing is that you may have done the same thing you've done so far given the time of year, but you would really make a different choice as the seasons change.
Yeah.
Okay. So how about you, River, as you consider what you have given up to get to this point in your relationship with actually the whole school system and being part of this bigger system?
Well, I'm not really clear how this fits, but yeah, of course I do the same thing. I mean, that seems pretty clear to me.
Mm-hmm. Could you give it without the expectation of something coming back?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With the awareness that I did have it on, and like a perceptual hole about that, I did expect some fairness there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So could you give it freely, though, without some sense of, yeah, you could. Okay, thanks. And for you, Kim, given what you've explored so far, would you, if you were to step back into that, would you still have studied the way you did, or given what you've given in that situation?
Yes, I would have. I think that the difference would have been perhaps in going to him, and I did go to him after it was all over, you know, to try to figure out what was going on. I would have certainly stated my need and request to him differently.
Yeah. So you realize there were more things that you could have done, but as you look back at what you did do, I'm guessing it's clear that you did them for your own needs and you would do it again in that way.
Right. And I'm also recognizing that there are times when that's not true. Just having a deeper awareness of what the other person needs. Or.
Yeah.
So there is no
thank
right
you.
Order, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a deep truth. We just move along and do what we do. And then we make the best of it. So now we've got everybody back into the same room. I'd just love to have you check in with yourself right now as you consider this other person that you had identified that you were working with and remembering what you felt before, feeling separate from this person, having this sense that they were not okay, maybe some form of enemy. And then looking at now how you feel toward this person in relationship to them. Just notice if they're at least a little bit more human for you. Maybe shifted even more significantly than that. And I'd love to just do a quick round of, has that image changed for you of that person? Starting with Roberta, do you notice a difference?
Yes, I definitely do. A shift in me and how I perceive the other, yes.
Thank you. How about you, for you, Charlene?
Major shift, very open-hearted as opposed to shut down.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And for you, Kim?
I wouldn't call it a major shift. I think it was more of a recognizing that he was less in the picture than what he really should have been. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
There's not a whole lot that I would have changed anyway.
Sounds like some spaciousness around.
Right, right.
He's less of a sort of looming character in the story.
Right. Just more of a shadowy figure back there now.
Yeah. Less important to the outcome and the what really matters to you. Thank you. How about you, Annie?
No, I didn't feel a shift. And when I was asking myself the question, would I do that again? And what came up was, if I knew that the outcome was going to be exactly the same thing, would I do it again? And I think I would. And I just feel really sad that I just don't think my needs were going to get met there. And could I do that again without the expectation of my needs getting met? Well, I probably would, but then I feel like I'm submitting. So, I'm not really sure. I didn't do the shift, I'd say.
Yeah, so I'm guessing in this moment there's still some payoff for you. Something still matters enough that you do get from that action that you would choose to do it again. Does that resonate?
Well, and maybe it's just the old ingrained pattern, but it's almost like cooperation and contribution are like trump cards over me getting my needs met.
Uh-huh. So
it would be
the needs for
to say no, I'm not going to do this.
Because you so value cooperation and contribution. So you would do it again for cooperation and contribution, even though it wouldn't be a super satisfier in terms of other needs that you've identified.
Yeah, because the world I want to live in is where I'm contributing all the time, as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And so it's really the expectation that there might be something coming back in my direction, you know, that expectation is where the sadness is, really, like the hopelessness of this situation coming out any differently.
Mm-hmm. So in this moment, as you consider that you've gone through this process and you're looking at it anew, are you at this point in a place where you would do it without that expectation and mourn that some needs aren't met?
Yeah, I think that realization that that really is the world I want to live in helps. I really am going to do that. And sometimes I'll be disappointed.
So to be able to just make the choice you make in the service of your deeper values. And I'm wondering if it has if there's any shift for you when you think about this person. Is there still some sense of wrongness or desire to punish or something along those lines?
No, I think the shift now is acceptance. Like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So this is a form of dissolving the enemy image. You no longer are wanting to punish this person. You're just clear you're making your choice and you're mourning the misdeeds.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate having that clarity with you too. Thanks. And how about you, River? Has it shifted how you're holding this other person?
Yeah, I have softened, and I've gone from like murderous rage to just feeling wary, you know, like I would be with like a snake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. And Doreen, did you notice a shift in how you're holding the other person?
I think I noticed more of a shift. Yeah, I think I noticed more of a shift in, I don't know whether I would call it holding the other person, but it was helpful, the step where we put ourselves in the other person's shoes and really considered what needs they were trying to meet. And it struck me that when we're in the state of hallucinating, it's all about us. And so just sort of getting past that, at least for a moment, and considering the other person was helpful. I don't know so much that it was a shift in how I was holding the other person.
It sounds like you've humanized them some. At least your heart is more open in this moment for yourself.
Exactly.
Thank you. So, we get to do another round in our checkout just to name it one nugget that you're taking away from here or any kind of celebration or even a mourning if you'd like. And we'll go ahead in the same order again. We'll just start with Jean this time. Just to do our final checkout with each other. Share a nugget of celebration or mourning. River?
Yeah, I find it really useful, the focus shift and the options that come up when everyone's needs are considered.
Thank you. Kim?
I'm really liking the hallucination of intent and the diagnosis that Jim talked about. And I also wrote down and underlined when he said how upset we get when we didn't get what we didn't ask for. Sometimes I get angry because I didn't get what I didn't ask for. How silly is that?
Thank you. Doreen?
Just the opportunity to take on the other person's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And how when we get caught up in hallucinations, we sort of lose that.
Thank you. Darlene, and then Roberta?
I feel like I can possibly have a choice now, and I do better when I have a choice. I can perceive things differently. I have an option. Thank you.
Thank you. Roberta and then Jim?
With practice, I don't have to drink the poison.
Thank you. Jim?
Well, I'm just savoring the checkout, what I've heard from the checkout, the idea that folks have more choice around tasting that resentment, and that I loved how everybody had their own experience, and that it echoes my own experience of working with this process, that sometimes I don't get finished yet. It takes me a little bit more time to go through in order to get the sense of connection with my own needs or the needs of the other person, and I feel inspired.
Yeah, similar for me. I feel really inspired hearing all the different things that each of you said. I really enjoyed the nuggets because each one of those are a nugget for me in life. That's very rich for me. And I love going through these processes because, you know, they are a little bit messy. We're playing in the muck. And so I'm just really glad you're willing to play in this with us and with yourself and to really shine the light of awareness on all of this and see the beauty underneath all of that. It's time to go. Bye.
This recording is copyrighted by the NVC Academy and is for personal use only. To support our sustainability, redistribution of this recording is prohibited without written consent of the NVC Academy. Thank you.